We're going to have Brad Underwood on the show at 5:10, the coach of the Oklahoma State Cowboys, former Kansas State Wildcat player. He was an assistant here, obviously, as well, under Bob Huggins and Frank Martin. So be tuned in for that. 5:25, some audio proof that a lot of the noise from outside the basketball program right now is leaking into the players. But for right now, I just have one basic thought from Monday's incident with Bob Huggins. It was not a very entertaining game, West Virginia, Texas, necessarily, but Bob Huggins, of course, had a scary moment, basically collapsed, dropped down to his knees in the first half there because, as come to find out, his defibrillator had gone out for just a second there. Crazy. And first of all, obviously I'm glad that he's okay, and that is a very scary moment. And I think a lot of people, you know, like you and I, the normal average Joes of the world, are not probably going to finish out a game after something like that happens. I mean, that would scare me so much that I don't know, probably run and hide in a corner somewhere. But that's why Huggins is Huggins. And I saw a tweet immediately from a reporter that was at the game that said he got up, and one of the first things he said was to one of his players that he had been frustrated with, he said, "Look, you're literally killing me." Just like the fact that Bob Huggins rebounded to get right back up, not make a big deal of it, finish coaching the game, and his immediate response was to turn to his player and, like, halfway make a joke about it while still, like, being a coach. Like, "You are literally killing me." Oh, I love Bob Huggins.
Yeah.
I love Bob Huggins. That was a very Bob Huggins moment.
It was great. I don't know what to add there. It was just awesome.
I'm glad. I thought maybe you wouldn't think it was as cool as I did.
Oh, no, it's great. I mean, that's, you know, it's definitely something I miss from when he was in Manhattan, stuff like that. I mean, not that anything like that ever happens, but just the quips and the way that he would have fun with media. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah, it's always entertaining. I look forward to the West Virginia game at home every year just to see. I mean, he's a different guy with the way that he goes. You know,
well, he asked the reporter this year, "You ever coached before?"
Oh, yeah, that's right. We had a confrontation this year. I forgot about that. Mm-hmm. That was good. That was good, and you could just tell the moment the question started coming out of the dude's mouth that this was going to get hairy and it was going to be great.
Yeah.
So I thoroughly enjoyed that, man. The press conferences were always really, really entertaining, and I actually saw the video going around of Frank Martin the other day, too, who was asked a political question, which the second that it started to get asked, he pulls his, like, warm-up shirt, whatever, over his face, like, "Come on, man." But it was about the White House visit and whether or not if he had a championship team, if he would be okay with a player skipping out, whatever. And I thought he gave, like, the most perfect answer ever that was not partisan on either side at all. It was, like, right down the middle. And I was like, I don't know how you could really be upset at that if you were on either side. And he took, like, 20 seconds of silence to sit there and think about his answer. It was just, like, the most thoughtful thing ever. And I was just like, you know, it's that type of stuff I really liked and respected about Frank. I don't think anybody out there has given, you know, responses that thoughtful. Even people talk all the time about, like, Steve Kerr and Popovich going off on stuff. They're more shooting from the hip clearly to one side, which I understand. Depending on who you are, you might think that's pretty thoughtful. Frank was the most thoughtful answer to something like that I've heard because it was centrist, right down the middle. Did I use that right?
Yeah.
Centrist?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good.
Nonpartisan, yeah.
Just making sure. The Kansas City Star, I spent a good, like, 20 minutes on the bus while I was with baseball this past weekend reading the article that they put together about the final year of Yordano Ventura's life, which was crazy good reporting. Today's day and age, right, fake news, right, all over the place. You know, we don't get a whole lot of real in-depth reporting like that anymore, and they sent Vahe Gregorian and a couple other people down to the Dominican for the funeral and whatnot, and they clearly were on their A game just gathering all kinds of information about what the last year of his life was. And it was, you know, he marries, basically fits the general theme of life moved too fast for Yordano Ventura. And he ascended so fast and got this money and got really the contract was the big part of it. So he gets all the guaranteed money from the baseball contract, the extension that he signs with the Royals, and a lot of problems started to happen. He was being distanced from his family and hanging out more with friends who may or may not have just been there for the money. He gets involved with this girl who pushes him away from his mother and his family. comes to find out that her father, when they would get in disagreements, was sending guys to his door trying to scare him like they were going to kill him. They wrote messages on his car, like busted it up and said, "We'll be back for you." You know, like the stuff that he was dealing with and going, it's just crazy, and you don't know that. And all we know is that he goes and fights with Manny Machado and people sit there and rip him. And I had some of this sentiment just when we first found out about his passing, but I think this just adds to it. Like, it's hard to do in the moment, and you're a fan and you get frustrated, and I understand. But sometimes you got to take a step back and just understand that there is so much more going on with all these guys that you have no idea about. Like, they are human beings. It's so easy to forget that, but these guys are human beings, and they have lives and stuff going on that's going to affect them on the field and how they act and how they react to things. And I just think, if there is something good that can come from the Yordano Ventura story, the Yordano Ventura saga, maybe it's that we all gain a better understanding of, like, hey, let's not rush to judgment so much when something does happen, when you get fired up and upset about what somebody is doing out there on the field.
And that story really adds to the narrative that you brought up right after his passing, that it's so unfortunate that we don't get to see how the story ends. You talked about the movie and living through the conflict and not seeing the resolution, and this just adds to it because you see how low of a place he was in, even though he was still under the spotlight, had a lot going on behind the scenes, and never really had a chance to overcome that. And I think that this season was going to be, in many ways, that opportunity to put all that stuff in the past and grow up, and now we don't get to see it.
And there was a little bit, I thought, of sentiment at the end of the article that, hey, what Dayton Moore and some of those guys were saying about they thought he really was starting to turn the corner was fairly accurate. And he had been working out more and more than he ever had in an off season before that season. You know, it talked about how he didn't put nearly as much time preparing for the 2016 season as a lot of those, you know, around the organization would have liked and what they say you needed to. And that's another thing that factors in, obviously, to how he performed last year, and that he had turned over a new leaf, wanted to be different, wanted to be better, and was doing that. So perhaps things were moving in the right direction, and it may have been a big step forward for him this year. You know, it would be like, just to play off that analogy some more, what's like your favorite movie that would be a drama? Not some, you can't ask me because all I have are comedies. I'm not a real big movie buff.
Okay, favorite movie is a drama. I don't know. One that comes to mind would be Blindside.
Okay, Blindside. I have seen Blindside. I'm trying. What's the big conflict that happens like in the middle of the movie? Obviously, there's conflict with this guy.
It's really not that different than your Yordano Ventura's story, to be totally honest with you, because he just can't escape the projects. He can't escape the old friends that don't want to see his way of life change, essentially.
How deep into the movie is it when he meets the family?
It's less than halfway through. I mean, it's like 30-40% of the way through.
Well,
like
think about getting to that movie. You're sitting through that movie, and you get to the point where Michael Orr meets Sandra Bullock,
mm-hmm.
and it looks like, hey, that could be a good environment for him. This might be the thing he needs. Projector cuts out, bam, you're done. Don't get to see it. It's over. You know, that's what happened here with Yordano.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to trivialize it by comparing it to a movie, but to me, that's about the best way I can come up with to think about it. But if at least we have some pause now with how we treat athletes and think about them when stuff goes wrong on the field or they make you angry, just preach a little bit of patience and empathy. But that's a big thing that I try and do. I'm not always the best at it, but I try to at least take a second and think about that type of thing. 5'10", Brad Underwood's going to be on the show, Oklahoma State head coach, former Kansas State Wildcat. When we come back, begrudgingly, we'll tackle the dumbest sports debate going on right now. You're listening to The Game.